The Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio is on the air.
Jackie.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man, good. Just hanging out.
You sound pretty subdued. It's not like you.
I'm watching this. You ever see the movie Clue, like the old one?
Yep.
I'm totally, like, I was absorbed in it. I don't know. And I was like, oh, whoa, yeah, reality. Cool, it exists. No doubt, man. So how's it going, man?
All right. You know, hanging in there. How's it been going with you guys?
Good, man. Good. Freaking drinking. And
I see you got a couple projects going on, not just Goldfish, but you did that Jackie Slaughter Experience thing. And
that was me just drunk goofing around. No, I had lots of people ask me about it. And I'm like, oh, you're doing, like, solo stuff. I was like, no, man. I was like, I actually deleted it all.
Really?
People kept asking me about it, and I was like, you know, I mean, I was just drinking, and, you know, I got loaded and fucking recorded songs for those boys, you know? Yeah, people are like, you know, because it sounds like a sissy song, right? And I'm like, dude, like, don't worry. Everything's cool. I still got my long hair, and, you know, I do own an acoustic guitar, but I don't play it that much. Don't worry.
All right. So how's the weather up there anyway?
Shitty, man. Wickedly cold.
Yeah, it's freezing down here. Last night was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, we went out. We actually saw Cheech and Chong last night.
What do you mean?
Well, they were doing a show down here with War. So we went out to see them, and it was like, it must have been like 10 degrees out. It was freezing.
Like the band War.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Seriously.
That's amazing. We used to use Why Can't We Be Friends. We used that for our intro song for a while.
That's what they closed out with, yeah.
That's awesome. And it was funny, too, because we were in, like, South America, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear the little keyboard thing come in, and why can't we be friends? You know, people are looking around at each other, like, what the hell's going on?
Hey, what the hell is this?
Yeah, this isn't speed metal.
All right, so if you're ready, we can get rolling.
Yeah, of course, man, of course.
Listen to Third Eye Cinema, your source for in-depth discussion of cult cinema and music. Tonight, a return engagement with Canadian shred revivalist and all-around madman Jackie Slaughter of Skullfist on the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Cinema, your source for music and film that matter. Cult, underground, independent, and generally falling outside the mainstream corporate boardroom paint-by-numbers bullshit. Tonight, we're talking No False Metal. Despite sustaining shocking injuries in a freak skating accident, he's back in black and head of the pack, proving once and for all that you can't keep a good wild man down. Noted madman and guitar virtuoso Jackie Slaughter returns to talk skateboarding stunts, fretboard shredding, and the album that took nearly 3 years to release. Fans of flashy guitar pyrotechnics a la TNT, Yngwie Malmsteen, Shrapnel Records, Nitro, and Racer X need to tune in for this one because Shred's not dead. Join us as we speak once again to Canada's favorite son, the irrepressible Jackie Slaughter of Skullfist, only here on Third Eye Cinema. But first, just to give you aspiring young guitarists a little scare, here's Jackie and fellow guitarist Johnny Nesta, and maybe we should pay attention because they've only got an hour to live.
We'll be right back.
Listen to Third Eye Cinema with our special guest tonight, Jackie Slaughter of Skull Fist. Stay tuned.
And you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. That was pretty fucking clean, eh?
It was. First shot and you got it down.
Hey, man, you got Christopher Widow, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema, the only cinema for real metal. I'm making up my own tagline, but you know. Hey, this is Chris from Widow, and when I want really awesome cinema, for real metalheads, I listen to Third Eye Cinema. So if you're true, listen up, man. I could do this shit all day, man.
This is Adam from Tribulation, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Right now? Oh, okay, sorry. Hey, this is Kara from Mortillery, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Rock the fuck out. I don't know. Do you want me to do it again? Hey, it's Kara. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema. Okay, I'll do it again. Just play, like, all the retakes so people can laugh at it. Hey, this is Kara from Mortillery, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
We're talking metal, and we have with us a return engagement from one of the finest acts to spearhead the retro traditional metal revival. Unlike most of these acts, this band has kept his band uniquely focused on the 80s-style guitar shredder sound, harkening back to such awe-inspiring masters of the fretboard as Paul Gilbert, Marty Friedman, Jason Becker, Michelangelo, Ronnie Lotecro, and even Vinnie Vincent. With a great sense of humor about himself and what he does, and an unusual background as dyed-in-the-wool skate punk, his band has remained steadfast and unapologetic about keeping the flame alive for a scene he was amazingly too young to experience the first time around. Please join me in welcoming back to Third Eye, one of the true standard bearers of metal and a truly impressive player in his own right, guitarist and vocalist Jackie Slaughter of the band Skull Fist. Jackie, welcome back to Third Eye Cinema.
Ha, ha, ha. I feel like I should have like a stronger, deeper voice with an intro like that, you know? Sound like a mountain god. Ah, ha, ha, ha. I eat Paul Gilbert for breakfast.
Well, it took a bit, but you're back on track with another killer album to your credit.
Good.
So tell us a bit about one major source of delay, which was a pretty severe skating accident that, if I remember right, broke your neck and any number of bones.
Well, I guess, you know, I had said that I only broken my neck, but I also had broken my spirit. I died, you know, technically died. That's what I just tell people anyway. I just go with it. No, I'm actually fully died. I didn't break my neck. No, I fully was dead. Yeah, I did. Yeah, surprised. But the cool thing about this is that you only break your neck once. Nobody ever breaks their neck twice. Come on. It's like the worst luck in the world if you broke it. Nobody has that kind of luck.
Yeah, but I mean, you crack your skull, an eye socket, a cheekbone, got a concussion, you broke your ribs, and apparently you broke your neck too. What the hell did you do to deserve all that?
You know what? I drew a picture of Muhammad. And that was it, man. That's all I did. But
seriously, what happened? What were you doing out there that caused all this injury?
I was skateboarding. There's a video of it. Had you not seen the video?
No, I didn't see the video. I just kept seeing pictures of you in the hospital.
No, yeah, there's a video of me. I was just riding my skateboard. I tried to slide down this handrail, and the handrail slid me down, and I got taken out, man. I was face planted into the cement or whatever.
Oh, shit. But you were...
It was just completely on a whim. I was like, hey, look, a skateboard rail. Hey, let's try and skate it. I was like, yeah, cool, let's do it. And I was like, oh, no, it's going to be fine because there's grass on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and I just fall into the grass and, you know, very gently roll down the grass, and I could giggle while I fall and be like, oh, this is lovely. No, it didn't have anything like that.
So how long were you laid up?
Honestly, man, I was only in the hospital for about a week. I had broken, I did legitimately break my neck. I broke the bone up in the top of my neck. That's called your M1, and M standing for menstrual one bone. I'm pretty positive that's what it stands for. As I said, it was an M1. It's the bone that apparently would, kind of holds up your head. So if I had snapped it or broken it any worse, I could have been penisless.
Wow.
Done. Yeah. So
nasty.
I'm lucky.
So you're all healed up now?
I was only there for about a week. Yeah, I'm all healed up now. I was only there for about a week, maybe a week and a half. I got to try morphine for the first time, which was cool. It's totally cool. I'm cool with that. I had like a really, really severe concussion, eh? But I don't really remember much. I was kind of fading in and out. Actually, when Johnny came to visit me,
right.
I asked him. I had no idea who he was.
Wow.
Not a clue. Yeah. And so I guess it was only broken about a week. It was broken for 6 months, though.
Right.
So I had to wear a brace for about a month. And I had this concussion really bad. And, of course, they told me not to. I couldn't smoke during the concussion. But I did. I should, though. And they told me I couldn't drink. They're like, you can't drink. And I was like, all right, I won't drink. And then I went to the bar. My dad was visiting me. He was, you know, coming down to hang out with me while my neck was broken. And I ended up getting my old guitar player, it's called Shred, played on our EP. He got my dad super drunk, and then I got super drunk, and I literally had a hangover for like 7 days.
Wow.
That was crazy. I guess like my brain or whatever, cause, you know, wasn't into it.
The worst I ever had was 24 hours. It's a long story, but it was vodka involved. And I was just crawling around on the floor, literally, for the entire 24 hours afterwards. But that was it. And then I was good. I can't even picture that long.
No, absolutely. I did that with pina coladas once. Eh? I got loaded on pina coladas in Cuba. And it was, you know, lying in the bathtub and puking down the drain. Just really, really bad stuff.
Wow. So I guess you're going to have to watch it with the headbanging now, huh?
You know what? After about 2 months after it broke, we did a Mexico tour, and a month later we did a Canada tour.
Right.
I had Johnny on my shoulders the whole time, and I feel great, man. I tell you.
There you go.
Really not that big of a deal. Oh, it's just your neck. You'll be fine, you sissy.
So we talked about your background and all the band members you chewed through like cheese through a grater last time, plus the whole issue of the retro metal scene or lack thereof in Toronto. So this time around we'll focus a bit more on the new album and how it differs from what came before. So I'm going to go through the album as I experienced it. So some of the stuff I say at the beginning doesn't necessarily apply to the later portions of the album. So hang in.
At first I was angry.
Yeah, right.
I had to poop.
we'll work it out. You've deepened your voice a bit from the Jim Gillette helium squeak of the earlier material to more of like a Mark Slaughter, Mike Leiden range. Was that from the accident? Because I know Frank Zappa claims he got his deep baritone from falling off stage and breaking his neck at Montreux.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I think there was just a couple tracks on the first album in which I just thought it was just too helium, you know, and I'm still, I think even now, in a sense, you're always, you know, I'm always practicing singing and you're always kind of developing your voice or finding your voice or whatever it is, right?
Right.
And I don't know, I thought we just wanted it to sound just a little bit meaner, I think, this time around, instead of, you know, I thought the first album was cool, but a lot of it was totally, yeah, helium-induced, and so I liked it, and it was cool, but I thought this time around we were, I guess we were maybe a little bit tougher as we thought. The next album is going to be death metal, so it can get a lot lower, all I'm saying. It's going to get really low here.
It's also a bit more mid-tempo than Head of the Pack or Heavier Than Metal. It's a little less focused on long guitar solos and more on like melodic songs per se. I mean, Hour to Live, I don't think it even had a solo. And the album reminded me a bit more of Cauldron this time around.
Well, we always try to emulate Cauldron. You can even find some lyrics that I directly stole from them. No, I think, I mean, it's cool because it's hard for me to say, like, nothing had been done intentional. You know, I'm just kind of writing songs, and however they're coming out is however they're coming out.
The whole bit connection with Cauldron is kind of fitting, as you seem to have picked up a stray, Chris Steve, who was drumming with Cauldron on Burning Fortune.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I don't think they were, And I'm not really sure exactly, you know, why Chris Steve left Cauldron or anything like that. And I had nothing to do with it, thankfully, because, you know, those guys probably would have came at me with a knife or something. Why, you never know, man. I mean, Chris is a good drummer, you know. How effective are they? I mean, they had a new drummer pretty quick anyway, so I think it turned out okay. Yeah. But we had Jess Jake, our last drummer there, who came right after the release of the first album. He left, and we needed a drummer, and we knew Chris Steve, and we were friends, and he's a good-looking guy, and, you know.
So that played into it, okay.
No, it's funny, yeah. I mean, you know, he's the drummer, right? So
maybe it was the menstrual bone.
Yeah, ever since that, I just haven't been able to look at people the same thing.
But, you know, there was certainly some XYZ by way of Rathfield to Bed for Good. So were you consciously striving for any of these influences, or did it just come out that way?
I think it just kind of happens, man. You just, you know, I mean, you don't intentionally, I'm not like I'm sitting down saying, I want to write a song that sounds like a shitty Def Leppard song. I just always say that about the chorus, eh? Because the chorus is so bad, so good. Not intentionally. I mean, it just happens, right? I listen to lots of, you know, I can put on Burzum or some black metal stuff, and then I can, right after that, put on Unskinny Bop by Poison or something. So, I mean, I'm cool with it. Some people, you know, they kind of complain a little bit. Can you, like, slowly go into that? You know, first I'm thinking about killing a wolf, and now I want to go kiss my girlfriend. It's just weird, you know?
Well, for what it's worth, that's exactly like me, so I don't know what that says.
Yeah, oh, I mean, we could kill animals and kiss our girlfriends at the same time.
That's it. You're also doing a lot more dual harmony leads and solos than before. It's a lot less of, like, trading off solos with Johnny than doing them together, which kind of says Striper or Racer X to me.
I didn't even notice that. I didn't even think about that. I guess it's like, you know, you did the first album, and I don't want it to... I think it's probably because you don't want it to resemble the first album. You don't want to write the same formula every single time. But when the third album comes, now I can just rip off the first album again. I mean, you know, people won't compare the first album. They'll just compare the second album, and they'll forget about the first one, and then I can just rehash old songs and call it, you know, Head of the Park or...
The opening riff and chorus to the title cut is like a slice from Andy LaRoque's intro to King Diamond's The Family Goes, which I thought was a nice touch. Were you picking that up, or were you just listening to the song and, hey, wait, this popped up in my head?
They stole that from us, so... I don't really know how it went with the whole time machine thing, and I don't really know who owns it, but someone does, because that's that.
You kept tapping the King Diamond by way of Widow on Call of the Wild. I mean, you're wearing your contemporary and your classic influences on your sleeve this time around.
Yeah, no kidding.
Whatever happened to that planned tour of the New York area that I was hearing about with Cauldron and Widow? I still think that'd be one hell of a bill.
There's multiple times we've planned to go to the States. We wanted to go to the States with this first album, and we said, screw it. I mean, it's right there. I can see it. You know, I could actually see Niagara Falls, America, from my old apartment building. So, I mean, it's right there, you know. So cross her over, you know. Don't bring any pot and cross the border. but every time we planned, though, every time we had it planned out, like something, I don't know, it's like pretty sure Allah was telling me not to go over there because just throwing it up for me. And he doesn't say shit anymore because of that picture I drew, so I don't really know what's going to happen.
Speaking of Call of the Wild, though, another thing I noticed with the new album is that your phrasing has really improved. Have you been sitting back and studying your Neil Girardo and Randy Rhoads or something?
When we're not touring, that's kind of where you actually get to practice, you know, because you go on tour, it's like all you're doing is just, it's like becomes a, you know, the first week of a tour, you say, okay, I'm going to make sure I practice my guitar every day, and I'm going to learn these scales, and I'm going to learn the Japanese scale today, and that's going to be cool. And then like a week comes, and then it just turns into like a shit storm of just eating the worst food ever and taking dumps every 30 minutes, and you kind of got tired to play your guitar on tour. So, yeah, it's always going to get home. And I think that we did. I mean, you always got to keep getting better, you know what I mean? I don't want to be stagnant and keep rehashing the same riff over and over and hope nobody notices or something. You know? Hey, I think this song sounds like Shut Up.
And speaking of which, Sign of the Warrior definitely sounds like it belongs in Head of the Pack, which is fitting because it's a remake of an old Heavier Than Metal track. So does that mean we're going to get a remake of Blackout in the title track next time?
You know what, man? We're thinking it would be really funny to do that. Like the next album, we do Blackout, and then the album after that, we re-record Heavier Than Metal. They'd be like, you know, what's wrong with you guys? 9 songs on the album, and every time one of them is like an old song. Like,
well, last time was 2.
So I mean, we're getting better then, you know?
That's right.
Now, maybe next album, I'll just steal like a riff. You know, I'll steal a riff and a chorus for every another.
But see, I thought from last time we spoke that you didn't want to keep redoing the old material. I was surprised to see this one on the album.
I just was probably confident at my songwriting abilities at the time when you talked to me about that. And, you know, and I probably sat down and realized that I only had 8 songs anyway. So it's like we're rehashing one. I think it was when it came with this album, it was – no, that actually is pretty much what happened. I just didn't want to write more songs. I felt I only had 8 songs in me, you know. I said, fuck it. And I told the label, I said, we only want to do 8 songs, man. And they're like, too bad. No, you can't. And I was like, well, fuck it. You're getting moldy then.
But
what happened?
As usual, when you rework one of the older songs, you change up the solo completely. I like the new ending you threw in with that Paul Gilbert style, you know, that 30-second note stutter phrases with the full stops at the end. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Because I remember those from one of his old guitar exercises, and I personally used that same trick at an outdoor gig I did in Harlem years ago and blew everyone's mind. So it's nice to hear those. It's nice to hear somebody still using that.
Yeah, like I said, I'm pretty sure Paul also owns a time machine, so I mean, I'm not playing the blame game here.
That's the one I'm getting at. I'm just like, your influences are on your sleeve. So it's like,
oh, of course.
I'm calling them out because I love the shit myself and I use it too. So
yeah, well, I mean, I like the Sign of the Warrior. I guess we did solos. They're pretty much the same. Actually, I guess it was a different guy doing the solos on the EP. So Johnny had switched, not a lot, but some.
You're going to pay as another nod to the older Skullfist style, complete with those piercing high note vocals. Are you still passing out in the studio recording these, or have you figured a way around?
You know, thankfully, I don't almost pass out singing anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. I think it's like once you smoke a certain amount of cigarettes, you know, you pass out. I practice a lot when I'm at home, right? So eventually, I mean, if you practice every day, you got to get better, right? It got to happen. You know, your brain is not going to be an asshole and make you get shittier. So, you're going to pay the same type of thing. You know, when we were in the studio, it was pretty laid back. I think we did about 5 evenings for vocals. Yeah, just about like 2 hours a night or something like that. And I guess we got extremely hammered every single night recording those vocals. And it's funny because, you know, the vocals, of course, they sound a lot better than, a lot more sturdier than Head of the Pack. And maybe is booze the key? I don't think so. But at the moment and at the time, it was, you know, a solution. So it worked out. I mean, yeah, it totally worked out.
And, you know, speaking of You're Gonna Pay Again, I like the halftime section. It's kind of like Accept by way of LA hair metal, like George Lynch and Wolf Hoffman got together and wrote something.
it was something that we were sitting down before a tour, and I said, hey, we need some kind of intro for the set or something, you know? We got to, like, do something, pump people up. So we were actually doing that in that middle section, obviously shortened, and we're just kind of stomping around on stage while we did it, eh? And when it came to You're Gonna Pay, actually, when we were writing You're Gonna Pay, Johnny, twice, the first time we wrote it, when we started writing that song, we wrote it when we were in this town somewhere in Canada, and they needed an extra song. They wanted us to play extra long, so I said, let's just do a jam. I said, let's just start jamming. I'll play a riff. You guys just come in, and I'm going to start singing, and we're just going to go with it.
Right.
And he said, all right, cool, you know. So we started playing that. I started playing with that riff, the main riff. And, you know, totally hammered. And we were playing on the last set. We played 2 sets that night. And the second set, we were drinking. So I started singing exactly the same melody as You're Gonna Pay, except the lyrics were, for some reason, you're gonna make it in this world. And then instead of you're gonna pay, it was little girl. So that's what I was singing all night. And then Johnny said to me, when we started turning it into a song, I remember he turned and looked at me and said, he had this horrible look on his face. And I was like, yeah, what the hell's wrong with you? And he's like, I think we're writing a really shitty song right now. But it turned out that most people have been saying that You're Gonna Pay is a favorite song. And we're actually filming a video for it tomorrow. So.
Awesome. So you got a plot for it and all this?
For the video?
Yeah.
It's just going to be us sitting in the van smoking.
Scooby-Doo style.
Yeah, just the whole video, just lighting cigarettes, cutting cigarettes, sharing, just us smoking in different locations, you know? No, we do, yeah, we have, I guess, I mean, I can tell you all about it, because, you know, it'll be done.
done in a week anyway and be out. We're filming it in this shitty little garage. Like you said, we didn't want to put it on a stage or anything like that. We said, well, let's film it in the garage and we'll have one person as a fan watching us play. And then I guess we can have different variations of making people pay.
Don't stop the fight. It's weird. It's like you guys put the more traditional Skullfist material halfway through the record rather than at the start. So you're like shocking everybody with this change. You get us to expect something different. And then it's back to the more up-tempo speed and flash, the high-end vocals, the Robin Crosby style backing chants, the whole deal. So what was that all about? Did you plan that out or was it?
I know. Yeah, I did plan that out. You see, I'm actually a genius. I composed music for Bach and Chopin. And Paganini. I have this perfect theory for how it is I lay tracks out.
Well, you know, some people plan these things deliberately. Okay, let's set this mood, and here we're going to throw the new tracks in the front, maybe we'll throw this in the back, and, you know, whatever.
I think our theory for that, basically, okay, fast song, slow song. So we're going to go slow song, then fast song, then another slow song. We can't put two fast songs in a row. What are you thinking? Oh, yeah, okay.
The instrumental, Shred's Not Dead, was this your homage to Shrapnel Records? Because it sounds a hell of a lot like the Jason Becker, Marty Friedman cacophony, maybe even Tony McAlpine. But again, you're doing those Paul Gilbert stutter phrases with a full stop we were talking about before.
I think it's the beginning of, honestly, where I want there to be more of that. It was kind of, actually, most of the riffs in that song were actually just things that I used to use as guitar exercises, you know, speeding up the tempos and string skipping and stuff. So I had just been sitting down and I said, hey, you know what, man, I really want to try and write an instrumental for this album. I've never written one before. And, you know, I'm watching all these stupid videos of all these monster shred guys. Like, I should probably write one. Yeah.
Well, it came out. I picked up the influences right away. I'm like, oh, okay. Haven't heard that in many years.
And I kind of want, you know, I mean, lots of heavy metal bands. Like, you know, guys love playing their speed metal and whatever, and it's all really cool. And I think, you got to kind of, like I said, you got to push a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to write this 50-minute progressive album for the next Skullfist record here. But, but you got to push a little bit. And I think a lot of guys are kind of, you know, a lot of bands now are kind of forgetting to practice for 2 hours a day. They're only practicing for half an hour a day instead. And there's still lots of really good bands out right now.
Oh, yeah.
Good guitar players, of course, but I don't know, man. You always got to keep pushing yourself, you know? And I guess I think the next album we're going to call it, it's going to be, you know, really prog and concept album. We'll call it 21.12. That's what I'm thinking.
And then you close things out with Mean Street Rider, which once again sounds like it could have come off Head of the Pack or even Heavier Than Metal. The riff falls somewhere between Accept and maybe even Chastain.
I just started listening to Chastain about 5 months ago. I had no idea it was a girl singer at the time. Yes, I totally agree. It's got, I really agree on the Chastain deal. Fortunately, I wrote it before I started listening to Chastain, so whatever reference you have for it, it's not possible. I completely agree with you. And I think that tune was just, it's about skateboarding. The audio from the beginning of the song is actually the same audio of me breaking my neck.
Really?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Oh, wow.
If you check that, type in Skullfist neck in YouTube and you'll see the video of it. We put it online. But yeah, so that's where the beginning is, the breakneck.
I've noticed one other thing. You've been throwing a few odd riffs and endings throughout the album, like the ending to Mean Street Rider and that strange pair of key changes at the end of the solo in Call of the Wild. So were you like constantly trying to expand and move into more of a jazzy, proggy direction there? Or?
I mean, I practice, you know, Johnny practices a lot of guitar, and Casey doesn't play his bass ever, because what he does, he just sits down and, I don't know, reads comic books or whatever. That he is. So, I mean, we practice a lot, right? So, like I said, I didn't want to do the exact same thing as Head of the Pack. I wanted to at least put slight, you know, little things like that. And Call of the Wild, I intentionally put that in there because I said, you know, I want to do something a little bit, just a little bit different, you know. Like I said, I'm not going to put in a string section, but, you know, just put in something, you know, and have kind of some odd, and I love doing that, is trying to find some, and I think you'll probably hear more of that in the future, is, you know, maybe you'll perhaps a little bit more, you know, at least trying for some interesting melodies instead or something, you know.
And I have to guess it was a conscious move with the tempo starting slow and picking up speed at the start of the album, and then a bit of the reverse at the end. Your nitro's showing, Jackie.
Like I said, slow song, fast song, That song.
No, but I'm talking about like how the intro, all of a sudden you're kind of going slower and picking up the tempo, and all of a sudden there's breakdown.
And then the same thing
at the end. You did a little bit of that in the last song, too, where it slowed down.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Cool. You know, like, honestly, I did that on purpose. Like I said, man. Yeah, you got it. You were the lucky one who found out first. You call, write to this address to receive your free prize. Actually, you know the Pink Floyd record? On Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, there's actually a backmasking in there that says, you found the hidden backmasking and write to this ad. No, seriously, it exists. It's in the Pink Floyd. And I can't remember what song it is, but it's on Dark Side of the Moon, eh? I couldn't believe that they did that. It's amazing.
But anyway, you slice it. This is another Killer Skull Fist record. I mean, there's really nobody else out there putting out material like you do in this day and age. So congratulations on another winner.
3 years in the making. Kind of, I guess.
So, any upcoming tours you want to mention?
Yeah, the album comes out in January, and then we're doing, what's the place called? Europe. Europe and the UK. I was going to say England. I don't remember the UK or whatever. I don't know. So, we're doing Europe with, I think, just a London date. We're doing that in February with Enforcer and Vanderbilt.
Nice.
Which are two bands we've toured with already and are totally really cool bands. You know, Enforcer trying to sound like us all the time. I'm just kidding, guys. Everybody take it easy here. It's really, really cool. And Vanderbilt is actually more of a, they kind of sound like old UFO or something. They got the guitar player just totally rocks, eh? He's one of those guys that kind of shreds with the low gain tone. And it's really, really cool stuff. So it's going to be awesome. I mean, it's always fun as hell going to Europe. And for 1 month of touring in Europe, you probably age like 2 years.
They're all heavy drinkers over there. What the hell?
Oh, yeah, it's brutal, man. And those people don't know. Like, they seem to be oblivious to the fact that, you know, when they say, oh, let's get drunk, you're like, yeah, cool, let's get drunk. And they're like, well, you know, how come you're only staying up till 4 a.m? And you're like, well, dude, you only did this tonight. I've been doing this for 20 days now. I'm going to die, bro. I can't drink that with you. I'm going to die, man.
So anything you want to plug, or do you want to point listeners to a website or a Facebook page?
Yeah, if you just check out our what's that called? Yeah, if you check us out at skullfist.kickstarter.com, you can win for $1,000. Casey will jerk you off. Come here. Basically, we don't really want to work ourselves. So, you know, we're just going to start a Kickstarter and ask people to give us money for nothing. No, of course, I'm just joking. We don't have that. I see that a lot. It's kind of a common thing where everybody has all these, hey, donate money, man, donate money. And you're like, well, dude, you know, get a job, bro, because, you know, when you have a job, you got money, and it's okay. I'm going to do this, and we'll see if anybody actually does it. If anybody wants to, they can call my dad at my father's phone number. Anybody wants to pray and call him, do that.
Did you actually want me to put that on air?
No, seriously. No, I honestly do. I absolutely want you to put that on air.
Wow.
And I totally mean it. I've done it before, and I will continue to do it because I just want drunk people to call my dad. Be like, hey, is this that guy's dad? And he's like, don't call her anymore, man. I got kids. They're sleeping, and you're upsetting my wife. She thinks I'm cheating on her now.
Wow.
So he once had these two drunk guys from Belgium call him, eh? Totally cool, man.
Wow.
And he's a good guy, so he won't kick my ass when I see him next time.
So with that, Jackie, I want to thank you for joining us here on Third Eye Cinema. And, you know, we'd love to have you back when you come out with the next record.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This one took 3 years, so the next one will take 6. So, yeah, talk when I'm 30, whatever. I've been eating lots of fruit and vegetables. And I'm telling you, man, if you try it, just eat nothing but fruit and vegetables all day.
Right.
I swear, man, you got so much energy. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, like Frank Zappa says, it keeps you regular.
Yeah. You know, Frank Zappa is the guy that we need to have the levels of what is regular. Thanks, Frank. Yeah, I got it, right? I got it. Joe's Garage is the place I want to be.
Because it's wet T-shirt night.
Yeah. You know, the hardest thing I ever did, though, was I went through all of his discography once in a matter of about, like, you know, like 3 weeks or whatever.
Right.
And I started, so I had to finish. And it was crazy, man. And, I always go through albums, and I write down the songs that I like, eh? Just kind of so I don't forget, you know. I always feel like, because, I mean, usually when I'm at work, you know, I'll listen to, like, 5 or 6 albums a day.
Yeah.
And fucking I don't even remember Skullfist lyrics half the time. I can't even say the band name right, you know. So I'm not going to remember every album I listen to. So anyways, I read all these songs now. And I had went back through them a little while ago.
Right.
A couple months ago, I went back to the songs that I had written down. And the guy's crazy. It's crazy. It's just simple. It's just crazy. I think he's just got problems. I like them. I like his problems. He's got very wonderful problems. And they're not, I'm going to kill you, you know, Charles Manson problems. They're musical problems. And he's sorting them out through each album. And it's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, man. I'm just kind of wrapping up here.
All right. So, yeah, again, it was a pleasure. And
yeah, absolutely, man. Let me know you want to come down and get drunk.
Well, I have to come up to Toronto for it. So next time that happens, I'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Next time you're around, I got a disgusting basement room you can sleep in. It is just horrendous. I actually live in a bachelor apartment in a basement with Casey, and we have this back room that we put a cot in this dirty back room, and it's brutal, man. And every time we bring a girl home, the other guy has to sleep in the room, right?
Right.
And I slept in the room last time about 3 weeks ago, and he just slept in the room for the whole weekend, which is awesome. And anyway, so my last time I got stuck in the room, I got a huge bite from, like, a centipede or something, eh? Yeah, huge, dude. It was like it was the size of a nickel and the height, you know, the bump of a stud or something, you know? It just... Anyways. let me know when it is. Yeah, I know. It's great. You should really come over here. Come down, man. It's pretty good. And my buddy from Brazil just brought down a stuff called cachaça, which is kind of like tequila, but way, way more intense. So that's what we've been drinking the last couple of days.
But, yeah.
Let me know when it's airs, though.
It's going to air in January. You'll probably be our second show. Actually, the first show is Leather from Chastain.
Oh, no way.
Yep. It's actually the second time I had her on air.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding you.
Holy fuck. Man, that's amazing, dude. Three-way call me so I can listen.
All right. Appreciate it, and hope to talk to you soon, Jackie.
Yeah, of course, man. Nice talking to you.
Take it easy.
See you later, brother.
You're listening to Third Eye Cinema with a special guest tonight, Jackie Slaughter. Stay tuned for more.
From Whiplash, and you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is James Murphy. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is Udo Dockstader, the singer of UDO, and you're listening to the show Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, this is Davey Vane from Vane. I want you to get very close to your speakers right now, right up against your speakers, because you're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
And any drunken fans who want to take Jackie at his word, hit the man up directly at the band's website. I'm not getting in the middle of that one. And to close out our interview with Jackie, here's another one off the new album. This is the title track. Stay tuned after the close for one more from Jackie and Skullfist. But for now, keep on chasing the dream. Contact us here, comments, suggestions, or you're a filmmaker or musician who'd like to join us on the air. Email us at thirdeyecinema@hotmail.com, visit our website, thirdeyecinema.wordpress.com, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/thirdeyecinema. Third Eye Cinema brought to you by the Big Papa Online Network on Blog Talk Radio. We have one last Jack Lost Chasing the Dream. This is Bad for Good.
Mm-hmm.
you missed any part of this or any other Third Eye Cinema broadcast, just visit our website or Facebook page for links to the shows in question. All Blog Talk Radio shows are available for archive listener download at your convenience. In 2 weeks, Ron Keel, and coming in February.
Hey guys, this is Alex Byrod of Stand and Force, Voodoo Circle, Cinema, Primal Fear, and Rock Meets Classic, and you guys are listening to Third Eye Cinema. Wow.
You managed to grab most of them in there.
All right.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Bowles from Ring of Fire. You're listening to Third Eye Cinema.
Hi, this is DC Cooper, and you are listening. Whoops. Hi, this is DC Cooper from Royal Hunt, and you are listening to Third Eye Cinema.
With 25% off all new and up to 70% off previously leased furnishings, do you really need a better reason to party? We don't think so. Come visit our new Court Furniture Clearance Center with more than 9,000 square feet of new and previously leased furniture and decor for your home and office. Sofas from $199.99, bedroom sets from $399.99, dining sets from $299.99, and more. Free food, prizes, and fun all weekend long at our Chandelier Court Furniture Clearance Center at 13946 Lee Jackson Memorial Highway. Or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com.